This is the 8th Right Radio Community Show.
Exploring the exciting community of Final Fantasy XIV. A part of the 8th Right Radio Network.
And now, your host, Steve.
Hello and welcome to the second episode of 8th Right Radio Community. We are the official community podcast of Orzeapedia.com. My name is Steak, and joining me, we have Corinth. Say hello, Corinth.
Hello.
It's good to have you. The 8th Right Radio Community Show, we are a monthly show, and what we're going to do is we are going to bring someone in from the community who's doing something special, whether they have a website or maybe they do art or music or something that provides a service to the community. We're going to bring them in, ask them some questions, and talk with them a little bit about the game. And this month, we are showcasing Zariana, who joins us from FFXIVblog.com. Hello and welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate that you guys thought to have us and, appearing on your very second community podcast. We feel touched, special, honored. Thanks so much.
You guys are one of the first people that we actually kind of had on our radar to have on the community show. We wanted to showcase Ganyman for our very first show, obviously. We were eager to get you guys on the show, and we're very excited to have you.
Thank you, Ganyman. Awesome. Ganyman is going to be a tough act to follow, but hopefully I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
Set your expectations low, everybody.
All right. So for those that are listening, if you'd like to follow along, the website, once again, is FFXIVblog.com. You can take a look at it while you're listening to the podcast here. They provide a podcast service as well there. I don't recommend listening to both at the same time because that gets very confusing, but you can take a look at some of the stuff over there. All right, so let's go ahead and just get started, shall we? Zariana, why don't you tell me what FFXIV blog is?
Well, basically, to be honest, it's a blog, and that's what we got it started with, but it's obviously, there's more to it than that. We're a collection of several bloggers. Some are pretty experienced bloggers. Maybe they did blogs in 11 or have done blogs just, on personal topics or what have you. Some are more first-time bloggers. I would probably fall more into that category. Mm-hmm. We have just, people who are general writers, do more sort of editorial things as opposed to what you might find in a more traditional blog. More creative types, just generally opinionated people who want to express themselves, and FFXIV blog is just really the place for them to all do that, just to pull everybody together and let them create what it is they will create and put it all out there and kind of make it one-stop shopping for the reader to just come across all these different types of content and perspectives.
Very cool. And these are kind of like, these are cool blog posts. It goes further in than just, here's what Square Enix said this week. It's more community oriented.
Exactly.
Which is really cool. It's something I respect that. That's cool. Cause it's like, it takes a topic and kind of delves into it. Very sweet. Can you tell me how this whole thing got started? Like, where did the idea come from to start something like this?
Sure. Well, the main guy who got all started, Maiev is his name, he was doing a blog for Final Fantasy XI, and he actually still posts to it on occasion. It's at staronion.com. It's a neat site to check out. Uh-huh. And he also, brought in a friend of his to blog with him, and he really kind of liked that dynamic. And once he heard that 14 was coming out, he thought that, he wanted to really kind of try to do the same thing, but maybe on a larger scale, so to have this one blog site, but to bring in a bunch of different bloggers. So they're all together, kind of just the power of numbers, more people together, more content, get more eyes on each individual blog than probably they would if they were all, spread apart. So that's really how it came together. He, reached out to, some people he knew, some of his friends or just other, 11 bloggers that he used to follow, and, tried to bring everybody in and get the blog site started.
Excellent. That's really cool. What what other kinds of services or what other kinds of things does the website offer the community? I mean, obviously, there's the blog stuff, but...
Sure. Well, you know, there's the blogs and, you know, different kinds of blogs. There's, you know, there'll be people who will be blogging more about their individual characters. That's actually kind of something that's, you know, just starting up now because it was really hard to do that before the game was out. You know, with the more editorial bloggers that we have, we're looking to bring in some more artists. Right now, we have kind of a, you know, a friend or two who are some wonderful artists. And actually, if you... you know, check out on the site, the art done for the fourth podcast is done by Otak. She's Maeve's girlfriend and is an amazing artist.
Very cool. I gotta say, that's some really cool stuff. It's funny too. It's very good.
Oh, awesome. I'm, you know, glad you liked it. You know, so we hope to feature more of her work as well as, you know, of other artists out there. We also have some people who just, you know, kind of got started writing game guides. They really just started, you know, made a helpful post or two in the forums and were like, hey, can you put that all together and, you know, package it up, you know, on a certain topic, how to fish or how to do this or that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're aiming to have a lot of those sorts of things going on as well. You know, we do include some of the basic news updates for people who might not have caught them somewhere else, you know, don't check Lodestone on a daily basis, but do stop by our site. And, you know, beyond that, like you also mentioned, we do have the podcast.
Right. Why don't you talk up a little bit about the podcast and how you got involved with that?
Sure. Well, you know, again, I fell into this whole project. I just happened to be like a friend of Maeve. And, you know, I was going to like help edit and, you know, be there for just random questions that, you know, he might have had come up or what have you. And we were having a site meeting, and one of our contributors at the time, the person who was my co-podcast host for the first three podcasts, Calera, had the idea to do a podcast, and so we said, let's do it.
You know, isn't it funny how you can get just totally sucked into something like this, Corinth?
Aha, a familiar story, huh?
Yeah, it was the new stuff that was kind of like a thing that was on the side that needed to be done. And I was like, hey, okay, like, you know, that'd be cool. I could kind of do that with Fusion and stuff. You know, all I have to do is talk on the thing. And now I'm kind of slowly taking on more of like the editing role and
part of it too. Fusion, oh. Shame on you. Shame. Shame.
No, I agreed to do it, so, yeah.
It is crazy cool. How these things work out. Yeah, I had no, you know, idea that I would be doing this. I never thought I would want to even do a podcast, and do a blog, but I'm doing it, and I'm having a good time. And
it's a blast, isn't it? You know, you do something like this, and, you know, it's a lot of fun to do. But on top of that, you get people who are like in game who are like, oh my gosh, are you Zarianna from, you know, from Aura's cast? Like the one? Yeah, yes. I mean, oh man, you guys are great, you know? So you get the community involved and stuff, and it's really a cool experience. Really, it's cool.
Yeah, it has been fun. And like you said, I mean, getting the community involved, that's one thing that we really wanted to try to do with our podcast. I mean, there's a ton of podcasts out there, and, you know, the world probably does not need another one. But what we really were trying to do, and, you know, are still hoping that we can do, is really incorporate our listeners into the podcast as much as possible. And, you know, just like the whole site, we're trying to get, you know, different aspects of the community to come out, you know, bloggers and artists. The same thing with the podcast. We just want to get, you know, all members of the community involved. And, you know, if they call in, they have something they want to say or something they want to talk about, anything. I mean, it's just...
What's the overall goal with the podcast? Are you just trying to be sort of newsy, or are you trying to be like discussion based, or are you, you know, trying to be like, you know, community involved, having guests, et cetera, stuff like that?
I would say both a mix of, you know, just discussion-based for sure. You know, I mean, some news might come up you know, as a point of discussion, you know, things that we feel are a little bit more interesting and worthy of talking about. But also definitely the community, I mean, having just general members of the gaming community as well as, you know, maybe other people who are doing neat stuff that we want to talk about.
Right.
Yeah, it's really a... You know, it will...
It's probably pretty wide open for you right now. There's, what, 4 episodes out right now of Aura's Cast?
Oh, sure thing. And, you know, I mean, only one of them has been done since the game's out. So,
right. You
know, this could really go in any direction. I mean, just like, it's kind of the nature of our site. It can go in any different direction. And I'm sure the podcast, you know, can and will do the same thing, especially because we want the podcast to sort of reflect the direction of the site. So, you know, there are... new and interesting things to come. I might not even know what they are just yet, but, you know, stay tuned.
Excellent.
So if somebody was interested in being a part of the site, like, I don't know, they're an artist, they want to get their artwork out there, or they'd even like to appear on your podcast, how can they contact you guys?
Oh, sure. Well, there's a few different ways. All of our contact information is listed on the site, for starters, you know, if they're, so they can always, you know, email any one of us. The forum is also a good place. A lot of our posts, a lot of our bloggers and authors have actually been people who just posted really informative forum posts, and we said, hey, this is really good, let's make an article out of it, and hey, why don't you keep doing articles for us? In terms of artists, we have a special section on the forum, so for anybody can, you know, come by, even if it's just something, you know, something you doodled, sketched out, to something, you know, a full-blown, complete piece. I mean, anything can be posted up there, and we love seeing it all, and, you know, and definitely would welcome seeing that and having someone become a regular contributor of the artwork. And as far as contacting the podcast specifically, the forum is a great place to do that, or, you know, also by email. We're all, you know, podcast at fantasy14blog.com, or, you know, you can find all of our contact information on the site. And we definitely do welcome that. I mean, we want to have a full gamut of stuff, of, you know, awesome, great things related to Final Fantasy 14 and to the player community. So, you know, if you have any ideas, reach out to us. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And, you know, I'm sure we can find a spot for you.
Sweet. I actually listened to the OrsCast podcast prior to doing the show here, and I kind of caught you mention that you had been playing Final Fantasy XI since beta.
Yes, I was in PS2 beta, to be honest.
Okay, PS2 beta. Okay, yeah. Wow.
Go PS2.
That's a long time. Had you been involved with any other community stuff before FFXIV blog?
No, not really. Not at all. I just, I was an avid reader, and, you know, I would post on other people's forums, but I never really got involved in, creation of my own content or anything before the blog. Like I said, I just kind of got sucked in to do one little teeny job, and next thing you know, I'm more involved.
How do you feel about the Final Fantasy 14 community versus the 11 community?
Interesting. Well, you know, it's tough to say. The game is still really young, and we're all still figuring things out. We're all still figuring out what we need from the game ourselves. You know, what we need in traveling companions, in link shell mates, in, you know, just random people in parties, etc. I think it's been a really interesting experience also because, well, most of the people I have contact with have played 11, you know, in some form, even if they only played for, you know, a year or so and then quit. And, I mean, one thing I've noticed is that because it is that same 11 player base, but this is years and years later, like,
right,
we're all older, we're all more mature, you know, I haven't noticed any of the, you know, what you would be perceived, oh, that's this, you know, 13-year-old who's just doing XYZ, you know. It seems like everyone is, you know, comfortable with themselves and just, you know, out there to have a good time. And yeah, it's been really it's been interesting to me. I mean, I've certainly heard people out there complaining that the 14 community hasn't pulled together, you know, and nobody's being social and this and that. But I think part of it is because the game is so young. Part of it is because we're older and the nature of our communications just change by virtue of being older people. You know,
yeah,
we're not as attached to you know, to in-game communications and people as maybe, you know, we were. It wasn't so, like, exciting and fresh and new as when we were younger. I don't know. That's just my personal perspective. And, but I think, you know, as time goes on, you know, we're all remembering 11 from having played for years and years and years. And
yes,
we're, you know, 5-6 weeks into this game. So.
Yeah, the 11 thing is so ingrained in us that, you know, it's a little bit of a difficult transition because, you know, the communication systems in 14 are a little bit different, and, you know, the party situation is a little bit different, and it's a little bit harder. I don't know.
Well, part of it also is, like, in 11, you can just set yourself to auto attack, and maybe you hit a button to do a skill chain or, you know, a weapon skill every so often, but you're definitely hitting the buttons a lot more in 14. Yeah. And it's really hard to like keep hitting buttons and type at the same time.
You're right. You're right. You're a little bit more preoccupied.
Yeah, with 14. It's definitely more friendly towards, you know, voice communication versus text right now.
You know, the feeling that I get from the Final Fantasy 14 community is like the griping. Like that's all you hear is like griping about this and complaining about that. And I don't know. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I don't know. It kind of makes me a little sad.
I think it really can't be helped at this point.
No, I agree.
The game is the way it is, and everybody had such like high hopes for it ever since, you know, back before we knew it was 14. I mean, everyone was like, oh, there's going to be a new MMO coming from Square Enix. What's it going to be like? And so we've had just, you know, like years to build up all of these expectations. And then we get the game as it is today and are like, oh, this doesn't meet all of my dreams.
Right,
therefore,
exactly.
It's fail. And I think we're dealing with some of that in the community as well.
A little bit. But and I think anybody that expected the game to come out perfect is kind of naive.
Exactly. You know, people try to compare this to when 11 came out, but they always forget that, you know, the game was out for a long time before North American players got their hands on it.
Yeah,
and, you know,
almost a year.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a long time. I mean, the game, you know, 14 has improved with each of these patches that we've had in the past 5 weeks. And from what I've read of the, you know, November and December patches, the game is going to greatly improve even more. So I feel like, you know, 14 a year out is going to be beyond where 11 was even when we got our hands on it.
Yeah.
So here's an interesting question. I don't know how you guys would feel about this. So we just went over the fact that 11 came out in Japan way before it did in North America. Do you think that 14 would be doing better in the North American market had they waited a year and done all of their work and then released it in North America?
I think yes and no.
Do you think it would affect?
I think yes and no. I think people would have been really, I think the NAs would have been really upset if they had released it in Japan first.
Yes.
But when they did release it in North America, they would have more content, they would have some of the bugs worked out, and then we would be like, oh, okay. You know, at least we didn't get it when, you know, it still had all these bugs, so, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much feel the same way. I don't know. I feel like the people who are playing 14 now are, you know, they're going to be playing it anyway. I don't know how many more people are going to come to the game, you know, a year or two out after things have been fixed. And actually, one of the things that I'm enjoying most about 14 personally is the fact that we all did start at the same time.
Right.
You know, when I start 11, I mean, man, there's these high-level Japanese players running around in crazy armor that I don't even know how to get. You know, and I always, always felt like I was playing from behind. And so it's nice to feel like, you know, I'm really part of this from the beginning and, you know, help figure things out. And, you know, people don't know how to do everything already. And, you know, I think that's attractive to me. And maybe there is a certain other type of player who would be more drawn to the game knowing that they are in it from the start, despite that these, you know, bugs and whatnot are there.
You know what? I've been playing, obviously, I don't know. It seems to me like the party system is being used more by the Japanese community than the NA community. And so my party experiences are with Japanese players, and they seem to be having a good time with the game. And I don't really see them complaining as much about stuff. They're just having fun with it. So I don't know. Food for thought, I guess.
Yeah. You know, the ORSP post on the party system that just came out, hopefully that will really, you know, get a lot more of us North American players doing that because like you said, a lot of players aren't partying. And, you know, maybe that can contribute also to part of why people feel like maybe the community isn't all the way there on 14 because you're not partying and meeting all those random people like you used to as a new player in 11.
What do you think about that, Cora?
You know, I can't really talk so much about partying because the only partying that I've done in 14 so far is really like Link Shell only or with Fusion.
Mm.
My computer just
That's
really
unfortunate.
Can't. Yeah, my computer can't really handle the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if I joined a party, I would be like a demerit versus an asset. Like me with my like computer and just like trying to hit the buttons and hope that it actually goes through. You know, Fusion can tolerate it, but I don't know if I'd want to put that on other people right now. I'm waiting for PS3.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think the PS3 release is going to do for the community? You think we're going to see a huge influx of NA players?
I don't know that it'll necessarily be a huge influx of NA players, but it will be a huge influx of Japanese players.
Okay.
By far, Japanese players are more in love with their consoles than PCs. So I think that you'll see more people playing on PS3 in Japan. You'll see people playing on the PS3 in North America as well, because the computers, like the specs that are required, are maybe just, you know, that little bit high enough that people don't really want to upgrade their computers for them, or they're like me and they play on a laptop that doesn't really support the game. You know.
You're playing, but, like, 2D version of the game at the moment.
Yeah, it's, you know, like, I ran through, what was it, like, I run through bushes in the game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just, like, run right through them. And my dad was watching as I played through, and he's like, I think that's just hilarious that you, like, run right through and it doesn't move. Like, nothing moves. And I was like, well, I do have the physics turned off as well as every other feature, you know, for the game right now just to get it to run. But,
good
yeah,
stuff.
We'll see. I mean, the PC part, I think a percentage of the PC players are going to be people that play more at the net cafes.
Okay.
Because then you don't have to pay for the computer or
that's
internet,
true.
For that matter. And right now they've got the deal that you don't have to pay for 14 exclusively if you play at certain net cafes.
Huh.
So that makes the deal even sweeter.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm really jealous of that arrangement. That seems really neat.
Yeah, that is. I would never be home, I think.
Well, I mean, you have to pay to be at the net cafe.
That's true.
Which
that's
is like,
true. Yeah.
You know, it could be like 300 yen or more per hour. So it does add up. But that's how I played Aeon for a little bit.
Nice.
Because my computer couldn't handle Aeon. It's also like being in Japan, they required the Japanese operating system, which I didn't have. But I could go to the net cafe and you just try it out. You log in, you get, you know, the code, and it's a great way of doing it. And that's, they also did that for 11.
Really?
Where you
they
had
to pay
like
for
the
it?
Net. Yeah.
That's so cool.
That is really neat.
Very cool. Excellent. All right, so we kind of went off topic there for a little bit, and that's okay. Let's bring it back to FFXIV blog, shall we? Are there any other services besides the podcast that FFXIV does?
I think you asked me that already.
Did I?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
We got the blog. We got the podcast. We got the forum.
The forum.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. People creating game guides, just, you know, a couple of the occasional news updates, like I said, and just, you know, general exposure to different kinds of content and opinions relating to the game. Lots of stuff. Lots and lots of good stuff. You should come view.
Okay. You went to a special event with FFXIV blog, didn't you?
I did. Well, I went to the New York Comic Con.
Yes.
And
how did that go?
It was really pretty neat. I have to confess, I don't know anything about anime, comics at all. You know, it seems really cool, and I feel like I would be into it if I took the time to figure it all out and where to start and whatnot. But as of right now, I don't know anything. So I'm walking into this giant convention full of stuff. It's all bright and colorful and awesome looking, and I don't know what I'm doing here. But it was really cool, and it was a really good time. And yeah, Square Enix had two booths. They had one that was, you know, their actual, you know, Square Enix games and software, and they also had a merchandise booth there. At the main booth, they had Final Fantasy 14 on display. They actually had a bunch of TVs set up. They also were showcasing that the new controller, I guess, that one of their you know, that someone has licensed to make, and they had, let's see, they let people go through character creation and, you know, play a few fights out, and there was really a good amount of attention paid to the game there, which was, you know, it's neat. It's always neat to me as someone who, I knew I was going to play 14 regardless of what happened, but it's neat to me to see other people who know nothing about the game pick it up for the first time and, you know, see what they find interesting about it, and
right.
So yeah, that was a nice thing. They also had a presentation where they, you know, showed the trailer to the game and talked a bit about some of the game's features. You know, talked about the armory system. They talked about the, you know, the music, the general kind of storyline, and, you know, and the usual factors, you know, that it's, you know, multi-region, multi-platform, etc. But, you know, all in all, it was great to go there. I actually recorded some video of it. So if anyone's really wanting to see what all was in that presentation, the full video is available on FinalFantasy14blog.com in that post there. And it was, it was just great to see, you know, what they're touting of the game. And also, I have to confess, I enjoyed the merchandise store as well.
Of course. I like the swag.
Yeah, definitely. I'm now the owner of a stuffed cactuar. And
jealous.
It's very cute. It's very cute, I have to say. And a few other things.
I want the cactuar. I want the Moogle.
They had a Tonberry.
Oh, I have the Tonberry. I do have the Tonberry. Yeah, I do have that. I want those little, like, those little Guildlev keychains, too. Those are But they're, like, wicked expensive. They're, what are they, like, $30 or something?
20. Probably.
Oh, my gosh.
North America, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they even had those. I was kind of bummed. But
I want them to be, like, life-size, though, for $20, you know?
Life-size,
that would,
like,
be really pretty, like tall. Just like a card size,
yeah.
And then you could, like, display it.
You know, I have an aunt that was into, like, really big into doing, like, stained glass. That'd be sweet to make, like, a stained glass, like, plaque that you could just put up on the wall or something that had, like, the Guildlev things on it. That'd be cool.
Or something you could even, like, hang in your window, like a little stained glass.
Yes.
That's a great idea.
Get your aunt working on that.
Dude, I should call her and ask her if she still does. This was like 20 years ago, like a long time ago. I haven't heard her talk about it since. Maybe that was like an old hobby or something. But that would be so fun to do, though. Yeah, I think
she could always take it up again or teach you how to do it.
Yeah. Well, she lives up in New York State, and I live in Ohio, so it's kind of hard. I wouldn't be able to just commute, but that would be really fun to do. Someone should start, like, selling those things.
Yeah, exactly. Get that license from Square, and
you'd have to get some kind of license.
You probably should. You have to, but you could get sued.
You could make them for yourself, though. You could.
Yes.
Not for profit.
Yeah, there were these people at this one anime convention that I went to that were making these stuffed cactuar pillows.
Oh, awesome.
And they were like plush pillows.
That's really neat.
They were like pillow pets, only they were like, it was a cactuar, big cactuar.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I have to say, of the Comic-Con, I was actually disappointed. I didn't see much Final Fantasy cosplay. I was looking forward to that,
Yeah, you know what? Every time I go to a cosplay, I only see, like, maybe one or two.
Yeah.
One or two.
I saw, like, one kind of half-hearted Makote / Mithra / not sure. I don't know. It was someone wearing cat ears at the Square booth, so I assume they were trying to do that. But, but who knows? That was about it, though.
Awesome. Are you guys planning on covering any other fan events for 14/11?
Hopefully. You know, it's something that we talked about that we'd like to do, you know, and would love to actually, I mean, since we are trying to focus on player community, you know, we'd love to bump into other players who are there. I mean, that's why I was trying to hunt down some cosplay. I would have loved to, you know, gotten some pictures and talk to someone who, you know, does Final Fantasy cosplay. So, you know, I certainly would think that we're going to try that again. We'll see if, you know, logistics might not always make it so convenient. I happen to live in New York, so it was very convenient. But I think, if you, Makote, are going to be there, I'll come see you. I'll fly over, what have you. So, yeah, definitely look for us to cover a couple
of things. What about a quote-unquote fan fest?
I would love if there were a quote-unquote fan fest.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be amazing. I would be there.
We talked about this.
We just don't know when. Start saving now.
Yeah, that thing could be in Alaska, and I would go. Like,
oh, my gosh. I don't know. I'd have to walk. I think we had mentioned them discussing combining the quote the 11 and 14 community in a quote unquote fan fest, right? Isn't that what they said?
That's what when Earthdigger and I had our interview with Yasu and Sundi.
Yeah.
Yes, they did say that they want to combine the events because, in essence, we have like the same player base that's really overlapping a lot.
That's
so
true,
it makes sense to combine the events.
That would be pretty sweet, I think.
I'm there. I'm there with Cat Ears.
I'd like to say that I will be there, but I don't know. We'll have to see.
I had a
blast last time. I do have frequent flyer miles, but I don't know if I have enough to cover a plane ticket or not. But I can tell you that we had a blast at the last Fan Fest, meeting people, you know, that were fans of Pet Food Alpha, and meeting some of the dev team and stuff. And man, what fun! What fun! And we are in Hollywood, California.
Nice.
Yeah, see, I haven't been to one of like the North American ones yet, so I'm really looking forward to that, because when you go to the Japanese ones, it's just like a little, it's not obviously a little event, but there's not a lot for players to do that's interactive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go there, you listen to the spiel, you're like, ah, this is great, but then you go home. So I definitely want to try out like one of the NA style ones where everyone's there for like the weekend and they're talking and they're trying out stuff together and meeting new people. And please,
absolutely.
Square Enix, soon.
Yes, definitely.
That'll be awesome. All right. As far as FFXIV blog is concerned, do you guys have any future plans or projects that you're working on now to implement in the future?
Sure. Well, we are working on bringing in a few or some more bloggers. Actually, we just got a couple who joined up yesterday or today, actually, and you should see some first posts from those people coming out pretty soon.
Awesome.
As I mentioned earlier, we are looking to get our art section up and running. That's probably a big future project. So, hey, any artists out there, drop us a line. We need you. Or even people who appreciate art and, you know, are the ones out there on DeviantArt Daily and what have you and scouring it and know all the cool fan artists. We need you too. So definitely, you know, try to get that art section together. And there's also a couple other projects in the works. I'm not really involved in this, and so I can't give too many details for that reason, and also because they told me not to. But
that's perfectly fine. Hey, we can accept that because, you know, Square Enix does that to us all the time. So
yeah, exactly.
We're used to that.
But we are trying to do some things that reach even beyond, you know, all the bloggers that we've brought into our blog, and, you know, find some ways to give more visibility to all the other Final Fantasy XIV bloggers out there. So, yeah, look for that in the future.
Sweet. Any anybody doing like role play blogs?
We definitely would welcome some of that. Actually, one of the new people who might be coming on board kind of does that, and also even a little bit more of a in-character podcast that might pop up, a shorter sort of thing. But so we'll see if that all comes through. That would be great. You know, like I said, we're looking to, expand in many different directions, and role-playing is certainly one of them. It's something I have no experience in, so that's what, you know, I'm not doing it, but it's something that always has piqued my interest, and so we would certainly love to get a little bit more of that community involved in our site as well.
Awesome. We posted on our site a post that kind of gave listeners the opportunity to kind of ask a question.
I see the one you posted from Ghosty Nappa.
Oh yeah, that's the one I wanted to read.
Yeah.
Go ahead and read it.
Not only do you have a blog site, but a podcast as well, which I have to say is pretty snazzy if I do say so myself. But is there anything else you plan to do to reach out to the community besides them?
Oh, okay.
Something we kind of already went over, but...
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks for calling our podcast snazzy. I appreciate that. But, I guess in terms of reaching out to the community, kind of what I was just talking about, basically we want to really try to reach out to bring as many other creative types into the fold as possible. So, you know, that's one big thing. And, you know, our hope being that by having all these different types of content, different types of art, different types of written word projects, etc., that we will attract different kinds of readers as well, and draw them into our XIV blog community, and hope that they add us to their destination, to their list of web destinations to check out. And as a result of that, or, you know, we also have the forum to, once people are, you know, coming and visiting our site, to encourage them to stick around and chat. And, you know, a few different, lots of friendships have been made on our forums, you know, a couple link shells, et cetera. So, you know, we really try to be a hospitable place and draw in the community in that way, you know, give them another home to, you know, come and participate in as a forum. I mean, I know the web doesn't need another forum. You know, Orzopedia's got great forums. There's a lot of other great 14 forums out there, but, you know, there's a space for all of us, space for, you know, different types of content and people who are interested in them and have different things to say. So, Yeah, really, we totally do.
All right, so FFXIV blog, if you haven't listened to Aura's cast, it's a pretty cool cast. You know, it seems to be kind of topic-based. They talk about stuff like crafting and levs and all kinds of good stuff. Obviously, they've been doing it for... You guys have been doing that for a few months now, right?
Yeah, it's definitely. Really,
once every 2 weeks, isn't it?
It's,
Ish?
Ish. It will be, hopefully, now that the game's out. I think that's our goal, every 2 weeks-ish. But, you know, beforehand, I mean, we didn't want to do too many, I mean, because there just wasn't that much information out there and that much player experience. But, yeah, definitely, that's what we're
It's interesting going back and, like, listening to the first episode when, you know, it was before the game was even released and, you know, we're still in, you know, alpha, beta, and, you know, we're talking about, you know, stuff we're just, you know, guessing at, you know, and stuff. I actually had to go back and, listen to those ones. So.
Study up.
Yeah. But,
it is interesting. I mean, and obviously, like I said, the nature of our podcast will change now that the game is out and, you know, people are doing different things relating to it. So, you know, and,
In my experience, there's tons and tons of stuff that you can do with a podcast. So I wish you guys the best in all of your endeavors there.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
I love the episode titles. Used underwear for sale.
Yeah, and the picture goes great with it, you know.
Yeah.
I love that picture. She's so talented. She put that together in like an evening. It was amazing.
Wow.
Oh wow.
That's impressive.
And the thing is, I actually know Maya. I've met him before, and I can imagine that he would be making that face in that same situation.
So, Zariana, are you playing the game right now?
I am playing the game. Yes.
And
definitely.
How are you enjoying it?
You know, I'm enjoying it. I'm one of those people, I don't know. I mean, I knew I was going to play anyway. Things aren't perfect, but I'm still having a really good time with the game. I'm really enjoying, you know, just figuring out the new game mechanics. Things, you know, figuring out the new party mechanics, like you said, you know, things are different, but as opposed to, you know, me not being happy because they did it better in 11 or they did it differently in 11, I'm just really, like, open to taking in the experience as it is now. I'm having a good time.
I respect that about you. because a lot of people, even people that are in my, like, my link shell are like, oh, the, you know, this part stinks and this is not right. And it's like, just relax. I like to look at the potential.
Exactly.
You know, I like to look at the potential, which is, you know... There's an amazing amount of potential for this game, I'm excited to be a part of its evolution. You know, I started in beta 3.
Nice.
Yeah,
for sure. I feel the same way. I mean, like I mentioned how I felt always in 11, like I was way behind. I'm enjoying being part of this from the beginning, and I understand that in an MMO, that means the game is going to change, and, you know, I can only imagine that it will be for the better from what I've, you know, been reading. Square obviously knows that there are some things to tweak and they've planned all these updates that are coming out. I know it's only going to get better and it's plenty fun and playable now. So that's why I'm sticking around and really having a good time. And
Square Enix are master storytellers, and the storyline in this game is just really, really good. I mean, I can only do, you know, with the Gridania storyline right now. I can tell you that it's very good. I don't have experience with the other two nations, but it's really a good storyline. And I'm having a really good time with the game, despite, you know, some of the things that need to be tweaked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying the story, too. I'm in Uldal, so...
Oh, how are you liking the old Da storyline? Is it good?
It's good, but it's kind of crazy.
Okay, crazy is like, okay.
Like, I have this little, like, WTF over my head every so often. Like, like what? But no, but that wasn't like that before, you know, without giving any too many, you know, spoilers or whatever.
You gave nothing.
But it just, it was just kind of like, okay, this is probably going to lead up to something really, really cool. And so it just, like, always compels me, like, to go forward. Like, I want to get to 20 now because I want to see what the next part of the story is.
And exactly. Anybody, I, you know what? It's like, Gridania is comical. The storyline is comical. I love the character development. The NPC character development in the game. It's funny. It's exciting. It's really good. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm a Gridania person too. It's pretty neat. I'm having a good time. Except I died in my last one.
what character race did you choose?
I chose Makote. I was a Mithra in 11, and it just seemed natural that I should continue on. My character looks very similar to what she looked like in 11. Same hairstyle, same hair color, what have you.
You guys find that there are more Makote than other races?
I feel like there are a ton of Makote.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think a lot of people chose Makote?
Because they're cute.
Do you think it's because... obviously, in most of the beta, they did not offer Makote. Like, beta 3 they offered it, maybe?
Definitely later.
So maybe people are like, oh, this is cool, because it's new. I don't know.
I don't know what to blame for it either. I actually saw a female here for the first time yesterday. I was shocked. Like, wait, this person does not have a tail. What is
wow.
Yeah. It really is that bad. I mean, there's a good number of Lalafell females, but I'm not seeing very many, you know, Elizin or here female at all.
Okay. What job classes are you preferring right now?
I've been mostly playing as Thaumaturge, but, doing some Conjurer also, you know, got to get some of those good abilities to take advantage of the armory system and, the flexibility and bring that in. So I think I just hit 17 Thaumaturge a little bit earlier. And, yeah, like I said, I've been doing Conjurer also and playing around a little bit with crafting as well. I couldn't quite pick a craft for a while, so I did a little bit of several of them. But, you know, I've... been having a pretty good time. I was mostly a red mage in 11, so it also kind of seems natural that I would do both Thaumaturge and Conjurer, so I can kind of, you know, pick and choose abilities from different ends of the caster spectrum. But
I think it's cool how they really promote the crafting classes in this game. They don't force you to do it, but it really makes it so that it's helpful if you have some of these crafts leveled, because you can repair your own stuff, you know, and so you don't have to pay so much to have it repaired, and, you know, it helps with the quote-unquote fatigue system, so that you're doing something other than leveling your main job class, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. And, you know, they made it so, I mean, it's really a viable thing that you can go through the game doing these, Disciples of Hand, Disciples of Land, and you get a lot of physical XP from them.
You do.
Yes.
You really do.
I was actually just talking to somebody the other day, or a little bit earlier today, someone I'd known, friend of a friend from Fenrir server back in 11. I just saw his name and I, you know, oh, hey, how are you? And he was saying that he actually only levels a craft for the physical XP. That's the only reason. He doesn't really care about crafting, but just wants that XP. And it's to the point where it's almost, you know, more efficient to do it that way, which
it's
I thought
definitely
was
a huge difference.
Yeah, there is a huge difference. That's interesting.
Fusion about that stuff, because he doesn't level crafting as much as I am right now, and so my
he's
physical
a buddy duddy that way.
my physical level is like a little bit higher than his, and he's like, "How is this possible? Like, how is this possible that your levels are higher than mine? Like, we all know that I spend more time playing games than you do." It's just the way it's working out, man.
It's crazy when you start crafting. you know, and you ding while you're crafting. You're like, whoa, I thought I was really far away from that next level, but it goes so quick. You get that
yes.
XP so fast.
Yeah, definitely.
They definitely made crafting more fun, too, versus Final Fantasy XI, to me, because it feels like you're more involved with what you're doing. It's not just like, hook this, and this together, and go, and we'll hope for the best, you know?
Same with gathering.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Yes. Before, it just used to be like you're moving your cursor in 11 all the time, like, okay, where is it going to pop up this time?
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, you know where it is. You go there, you do your little mini game in order to get your stuff, and that's definitely more interactive.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like you're doing something versus click.
I have a friend who only played Botanist when he started the game. That's all he played was Botanist.
Nice.
And he got you get a ton of XP, you know, but you're also getting stuff like logs and stuff that you can sell for decent money. So, you know, he's like, wow, I've got lots of money right now. That's really awesome.
That is really awesome.
I need to level Botany.
Go ahead.
I was in one of the betas, I think it was the last closed beta, I just played Botanist exclusively just because I didn't know anything about it. I wanted to be able to talk about it for the podcast. And yeah, it was the same experience. It was really fun, and I got much further in level than I had in any of the other betas, including open beta, which was, you know, more time. It was crazy.
Yeah, I think that the XP was jacked for that beta. Like, I think you got a lot more XP than you do in the retail version.
That is true.
Because I remember like leveling a job and getting it to like rank 10, and you know, like 10 minutes or 15 minutes. It was like crazy.
Quicker.
Yeah. It seemed quicker. Yes.
Yeah, you're right. I totally forgot about that, but it's fun.
Yeah, Botanist is definitely fun, and you can pair it with other, you know, jobs and stuff too, like woodworking and cloth crafting and stuff like that. But
yeah, you wouldn't have caught me doing any of the more collecting jobs in 11. I couldn't fish to save my life. I kind of hated it, actually. But you know, it's all really fun in 14.
You know what? As we were just kind of talking, I noticed that the podcast for Auruscast has a hotline. What's the hotline all about?
The podcast hotline. Well, it is kind of like what I said earlier, is we really wanted to draw the community into the podcast. We didn't just want people listening, but we wanted people participating as well. So in a lot of our podcasts, we'll kind of throw out a question, and we want people to, you know, they can either email us the answer or they can actually call in. And it goes straight to voicemail. So you can call any hour. You know, you're not going to wake me up at 4 a.m. if you call this hotline.
Hi, but you've reached Auruscast.
It pretty much does say that. It's me saying, you know, hello and thanks for calling the Auruscast.
Nice.
And a couple other things. But basically, you know, you can call in and anything you say, we might play on the next podcast. So, you know, whether it's a question that we tossed out or a question that you want us to answer on the next podcast, or, you know, just something you had to say, like, we definitely love it if people called into our hotline. It's 949-4-ORZEA. Call, leave us a little hello or anything you want. And we're definitely, you know, would love it if people would actually participate in that so we can play it on the air and really do what we wanted to do initially, which is, like I said, just get the listener involved in the podcast as well.
When's the next episode coming out? When's episode 5 coming out?
Well, episode 5, I would look for probably within the next week. We've had a couple staff changes over at the blog, so we're sorting through all of that. And, you know, I've got someone in mind who I'd love to actually have a special guest on this next podcast. So tune in, everyone. Keep checking back.
FFXIV blog, everyone. Corinth, you'd mentioned that there was a blog-related community thing out there that you wanted to kind of put attention on.
Yeah,
what is that?
It's always nice when we can kind of showcase members of the Japanese community as well. So I have come across somebody that is using the Lodestone in a very unique and informative way, and I thought everybody else should go look at it too, because it's awesome. The person that you're going to want to search for is named Lucky Boncho. So Boncho, B-A-N-C-H-O. He's a player on the Rabanaster server. And what he's doing is pulling stats from the Lodestone, like all of the character stats and racial stats, and if it's a stat, he's probably pulling it.
Okay.
And making comparisons. And so this is something that's really interesting for an online game, because there's some stuff that we'd have no way of knowing without somebody going in through the stats and sorting them out for us. And what makes this even greater is that not only is he posting it in his native language, which is Japanese, but he's trying to post the results in English as well, translating them on his own.
Very cool.
So that's what originally caught my eye, is that he's really trying to bring the entire community.
How'd you find this guy?
It randomly popped up on the Lodestone, as, you know, he posted one time on the sidebar, you know, it has the latest posts. And it said, like, Lodestone International Survey or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, you know, click. And then I saw what he was doing. I'm like, this is great. Like, I wish more people would do this kind of stuff. But I thought I could just kind of showcase some of the stuff that he's found.
Okay.
Through going through the stats. So one of the first posts that he made was actually comparing Japanese and English players' use of the Lodestone.
Oh, okay.
And by use, it's active players who have written in their diaries.
Okay, so blogs, right?
Yeah, so people that are using the blogging function. And so he's looking, what servers have higher populations of certain languages? And obviously this is going to be very skewed based on, you know, maybe people blog elsewhere other than the Lodestone. But it is definitely an interesting look. Some of the stats that I thought were very interesting. On some of the servers, there is definitely a high percentage of Japanese players blogging that, you know, are on those servers versus English-speaking players. So, for example, the server Cornelia, roughly 84% of people who blog on the Lodestone have been Japanese bloggers.
Whoa.
Isn't that huge?
That is huge. Where are these numbers coming from?
He just pulls stats. Like, he just, I don't know how
he does
it.
I wonder how he does that.
Pulls stats from
Lodestone.
So Cornelia's a high one. Vassal is also around 84%.
I heard that the Gazal server is high Japanese.
Some that are higher the other way. Let's see. Rabinastar, the server that Lucky Bancho is on, it's about 55% English right now. Wutai is about 54% English.
Okay.
So I thought that was really fascinating. Like,
that is really fascinating.
Who is using the Lodestone per server?
Like, wow.
I would never, you know.
Yeah, I wonder how he does that.
You know, I know that he pulls stats.
Come on, my NA brothers and sisters, we need to blog more. Come on, let's beat these stats into the ground. Well, that's what I say. Although I'm guilty for not really having used the blog system on the Lodestone at all.
I haven't used it at all either, but I have noticed a few of my friends have used it, so I've started trying to follow their Lodestone blogs.
Oh, that's really cool. Huh.
Here's another interesting kind of stat that he found. He compared registered players from 1 week and then added in new players who appeared, you know, in the stats, and did a comparison of non-active players towards active players. And by this, I think it was that they have had some sort of stat change.
Right.
Like, they've gotten one rank up, or a skill has gone
up. Or no rank ups.
A level have. Yeah, something about that. That's how he determined whether it was active or non-active. And right now, it looks like there are approximately, 400,000 registered players.
Whoa.
Of 14.
Whoa.
No, this is just going off of the stats that he's found. Who knows how you know, accurate they are, but we're looking at about 400,000. About half of those are active.
Okay.
At the time that he pulled this, like, you know, active over a course of a week.
Now, are these accounts or players?
This would be players because it's the characters.
Right, yeah. So if the you lodestone have like three characters, then that counts.
Yeah.
Huh.
So that can skew it as well.
Yeah, obviously. A little bit, yeah.
Another interesting find that he had, roughly 29% of all players, so all characters, have leveled up one class in each of the four disciplines. So I'm looking at the Japanese version of it. So it's a fighter, a sorcerer, crafter, gatherer. So
that's
war,
cool.
Magic, land, hand. About 19% have three. So the four minus sorcerer.
Okay.
And then the next most popular is about 14% are only a fighting class.
Yeah. That's the guy that's standing at the aetherite in like the, you know, brass hauberk. Who's like level 10.
Less than 1%, like, was it? It says 0.4% are crafter or gatherer only.
I met a goldsmither only.
So, like, they're in that little tiny...
little teeny tiny half of a percent.
Yeah.
More power to him, I say. If that's your dream to just be a goldsmith, then follow your dream, Mr. Goldsmith. Hats off to you.
Sounds like one of those Budweiser Real American Hero commercials.
Yes. Real or saying heroes.
You're going to have to do that now for another podcast.
Oh, come on.
A new special awesome. Feature.
Yeah. So the last stat that I thought I'd look at, this is a stat that he pulled just for Rabanaster. But I figure at this stage, most servers are going to be fairly compatible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, in terms of what people do. So this is looking at registered characters from Rabanastar, of which there were about 7,000 or so. And what classes or what disciplines are people picking? So about 5% are fishing. Now, this means that they've leveled fishing. I think his cutoff point was rank 10, if I remember right.
Okay.
Something, I thought it was about rank 10. I can't see it right now, but about 27%, 26% have done mining, which is the most on the server, which I think is kind of strange. Like, why mining? But
right, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of, you know, smiths, blacksmiths, armors out there.
That could be it, yeah.
So they need all that stuff.
That's good money.
Yeah.
You know?
About 5% of people have tried Culinarian.
5%, huh?
5%. That's why there's no food out there.
I'm surprised it's even that high, to be honest. Cause it's,
really,
And because nobody else, you know, it's not like really interrelated with any of the other crafts as much. I mean, maybe a little alchemy.
I know Corinth has tried it.
Yeah, that's my highest, actually, is Culinarian.
Nice.
So I'm not actually selling anything right now, but I
when people get hip to food, they'll be like, Corinth, yes. You're the only one we know.
I actually, I often go over to the Culinarian Guild to just craft over there. And there's a group of Japanese players that, at the beginning, like when the game first came out, they were crafting there. And now they've actually formed a link shell. So I thought it was so cool, like, to just notice that they've come together.
Right.
And the other day, they had a Halloween party.
Oh, cool.
So they were right
making
outside.
The jack-o'-lanterns?
Yes, they were making all sorts of treats and the jack-o'-lanterns. And they're like, we're having a celebration. Come over here. We'll give you stuff. And I'm like,
that's fun.
That's really neat.
But yeah, eventually people will need my food. What do you think? Oh, let's see. This is only 2%. So what class or what skill, I should say, do you think has the least number of people?
What class has the least number of people? Marauder.
Marauder is sitting at 14%.
Oh. Hmm. All right, maybe not Marauder. How about Archer? No.
Archer's at 11, so it's...
We're going down. We're going down.
It's not the most... It's definitely lowest on the whole, like, fighter totem pole, but...
I see. Thaumaturge, maybe. Is it Thaumaturge?
That is also at I think... I don't know which is which, actually. Because I'm looking at... This one was only done in Japanese. And I'm not sure if it's Thaumaturge or Conjurer, because I forget which one's which. Sorry.
Is it Botanist?
No, Botanist is actually fairly high as well at 19%.
Hmm. Botanist is, like, really easy to do, and you can get stuff to make, you know, things with Clothcraft, like, right away. It's, like, a really
good money maker. What about Armorcraft? Like, that side? Or I guess they can really measure that.
Blacksmith.
Armor is 15%. It's probably going to be more of a problem with the way that I phrased the question. Shield.
Oh, the skill. Oh, shield skill.
Yes.
That's hard to level, the shield skill.
Only 2%.
That's hard to level.
But, crazily enough, the same comparison chart that I'm looking at that has all of these percentages is actually a comparison chart of what percent of people that do A craft also do B craft. What percentage of, thermaturges also level conjurer.
Right.
Which I can probably compare it.
Or like,
wow.
I think that's pretty high.
Fairly low.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
And it's not even. So, like, people whose main would be one, it's only, like, 42% the other direction or 20%, depending on which direction you're looking at. I thought it would be a lot higher.
Yeah, you need those other abilities. You know, I bet it's probably higher. More Thaumaturges probably need the Conjurer abilities, but Conjurers probably don't need anything from Thaumaturge as much.
See, some of the highest... most of these, the higher stats are either with minor, so people doubling up with minor, mm-hmm. or people doubling up with, what's the word I'm looking for? Not threading.
Oh, weaving.
Weaving.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Gotta keep those ropes.
So most of those are... Most of those are, like, near 50%. So, like, your conjurer, that's going to be near 50. Woodworker, carpenter, that's going to be near 50%. Leather tanner, that's almost at 60%. And you can see, like, those two go really well together.
Yeah.
Most people that level blacksmith or armorer
mm-hmm.
also level gladiator.
Huh. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Swords.
Keep them pointy.
Yep.
But, yeah, so it's just kind of interesting to see these different stats that he's pulled. Sadly, his most recent post says that because of changes to the lodestone, it's not as easy for him to grab stats anymore. So
come on, Square.
No. I know, Square, if you're listening, like, go find Lucky Boncho and... talk to him about this.
Hire him.
We know that you have his personal information.
Yeah, I know. Call him up and put him in charge of, like, the Orzea, what do you call
census.
It? The census, yes.
Because obviously he has experience doing
this. He's got some...
Fascinating.
It's really cool stuff. And what's his name? Lucky Boncho?
Lucky Boncho from the Rabanaster server.
B-A-N-C-H-O.
Yeah, he does translate all of the stuff in English by himself, and it's not his native language, so please understand that when you go look at it. He does try to respond to some of the comments that he gets. I thought it was just something really awesome and part of the community that everybody should know about.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that.
This is really neat.
All right. That brings us to the end of our show, sadly.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I would like to thank you sincerely for joining us today on our podcast here. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah, me too.
I love the site. I'm a fan of the site.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, it's so, first of all, I mean, I definitely want to once again say thank you for having me on to talk about the site. And, you know, I mean, we feel like we're kind of under the radar sometimes. So it's nice to know that, you know, people like you guys are actually coming and checking it out. Mm-hmm. Nice to know that other people out there are, you know, are into it. And yeah, so I really, really appreciate this opportunity. And thanks so much.
Absolutely. FFXIVblog.com. Everyone, go check it out if you have not already. And thank you very much again for joining us.
Eighth Right Radio Community is a part of the Eighth Right Radio Network. To stay up to date with the latest episodes, follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/eighthright_radio. You can also leave us feedback on our forums or by email at podcast@orzeapedia.com. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next month.